Hey there, my fellow thriver, and welcome back to the Trauma Mama podcast, where we talk about what trauma is, how it happens, how it affects our brains, behaviors, and relationships, and most importantly, what we can do about it. I'm your host and Trauma Mama, Alexandra Pratt. How are you holding up? The quarantine, the lockdown. Are you doing okay? Are you taking time to be good to yourself? Take care of yourself? Replenish what you need? Fulfill things you want to do? This is an extremely difficult time for all of us. No matter what you're going through right now, you're not alone. No matter what you're feeling right now, it's very valid. Please don't be hard on yourself about anything. I know I have to remind myself that. I have my good days and my more challenging days. I find that I am needing a lot of time after work to decompress, and instead of continue to be productive towards other things in my life, I just go and lay in bed for a few hours, and I find that as a symptom of my depression. That's kind of how I used to deal with things. I'd avoid life. But I'm not trying to avoid life anymore. I'm not trying to get stuck in these not so effective or healthy habits of mine. So instead of thinking about a depression nap, something I used to do a lot, I'm using this time to rest and giving myself a pass some days because I'm allowed the space right now to need time to relax and decompress and unplug and do nothing after work. Things are very different. Things are challenging. Going to the grocery store is an adventure now. We can't go out and do things that we used to do to take care of ourselves and have fun. And we're stuck in the house with all of this worry and fear and stress and wondering about the unknown of what the end of the month is going to look like for us. Will we be allowed outside? So I have these ups and these downs, and I'm allowing myself to experience all of it. Because all of it makes sense, and all of it is very valid. I'm trying to not be so hard on myself about wanting to be more productive, to work out a bunch every day, to write the novel every day, to put out a new song every week. You know, I'm allowing myself to do a few things a day that better my life, that put me towards goals that I want to achieve, such as physical fitness, being healthy, creating. Some days I do yoga and I cook, and that's enough, and that's amazing. Some days I figure out something with my musical gear and come up with a new riff, or I start a new book and write in my journal. All of those things are huge accomplishments for me. And I'm celebrating those victories, and I'm not going to wallow in the days where I'm not as productive, or I feel overweight, or I feel guilty about having nachos for breakfast that one time. You know, in the moment, it felt right. So today, instead of continuing my original schedule of continuing to discuss different types of trauma, starting more in depth with child abuse, I'm going to keep going with this little mini series of coping with COVID-19. So in our last episode, we talked about recommendations for getting through this chronic stressful time, as well as really helpful dialectic behavioral skills called distress tolerance skills that you can use to bring down an intense emotion, like the emotions we might be feeling every day. It's the type of skills we use when we're just trying to survive a crisis, and this is a crisis. So, today let's continue that journey of figuring out how we're going to cope, how we're going to get through this, and come out on the other side, not only okay, but stronger, because we are thrivers. So self-care, what is that? It's a broad term that covers just about anything you do to be good to yourself. It's about being as kind to yourself as you would to others, to your loved ones or a stranger. And self-care can feel tough at first because it involves integrating self-compassion into our life, being nice and forgiving to ourselves in a way that actually helps to prevent the possibility of burnout. When we take care of ourselves and we replenish ourselves, we are able to face the daily challenges more confidently, more resiliently. Self-care is about knowing when your resources are running low and stepping back to replenish and take care of yourself before it all just drains away. Because when we are depleted by physical and emotional exhaustion, we are less able to handle what comes our way. When we practice self-care regularly and we are feeling our best, we are more able to get through what we need to get through in a way that's not as detrimental and not as painful. But the thing about self-care is that, unfortunately, it often gets very neglected for many of us. You know, we have so many responsibilities in life. Whether they're justified or not, we feel responsible for a lot of shit, don't we? For other people, for things at work, for bills, right? So we have all these responsibilities that sometimes we forget to take care of our own personal needs. So taking time out to maintain self-care is absolutely crucial. Always, always in your life, and especially now. And if you're not really a pro at it yet, you'll get there. And it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. But there are so many benefits. It affects your physical health, your emotional health, your self-esteem, your awareness of yourself, and it allows you to give more. You know, so let's talk about physical health. You may not realize it, but regularly taking care of yourself, like your body, can really benefit your health in the long term. It can prevent chronic stress that can damage your health. And when you have better self-care, you often experience fewer colds, fewer cases of the flu or upset stomach, or even headaches, because less stress is better for your immune system. And when you are eating right, practicing self-care with your body by maybe quitting smoking and exercising regularly, you're more physically strong, you'll last longer. You'll be able to take on whatever you need to take on and get through it, because you're physically able to put your best foot forward. When you're not always missing meals or eating only junk food, and you put good things in your body and you take time to drink water instead of just soda, or maybe cut back on a few beers, you'll notice a difference. It also affects your emotional health. Good self-care is so important for taking care of our own emotions, because we're the only ones responsible for that. How we feel is our own truth and something that we can regulate. Okay? So people who neglect their own needs and forget to nurture themselves are at danger of a deeper level of unhappiness, lower self-esteem, and even increased feelings of resentment. because you're always doing things for other people, and you notice maybe you built a life where other people aren't giving back to you as much as you give, and you start to get pissed about it, you know? So taking time out to care for yourself is important to show yourself and to show others that your needs are important too. That having a well-cared, you know, body and mind and soul, it can make you feel good about yourself and remind you of your value. And when you take care of yourself and you feel good about yourself and you value yourself, you convey a different message to people around you. You show them that you are valuable and you deserve value and that your needs and desires are just as important as theirs. And sometimes people forget that, right? People who just take and expect everybody to give them what they need all the time. Sometimes people around us need to be reminded that we need room for what we want and what we need. And that's very valid and that it's not selfish. So I just kind of talked about, you know, feeling better about yourself. When you take care of yourself and you start to see those benefits in your life, it makes you feel good about being you. You can send a positive message to your subconscious that you have self-love and self-worth. And specifically, you treat yourself like you matter and you have intrinsic value, which is so important and can go a really long way towards discouraging things like negative self-talk or detrimental and harmful behaviors. You can really learn to quiet and ignore your inner critic and just love yourself. And you'll find when you love yourself, you'll attract people that love you too for who you really are. So self-care can also increase your self-awareness, your knowledge of self, because practicing it requires you to think about what you really love to do, figuring out what makes you feel passionate, happy, and inspired. It can help you understand yourself a lot better and where you want to invest your time and energy. When you're aware of where you want to go and what you want to do and what you'll tolerate and what you won't tolerate because of practicing self-care, you have choices of where you want to give. You won't always feel so compulsive to just give and give and give all the time. You'll make a choice. You know, do you want to go out with a friend tonight? Or do you need time to stay in and recuperate? Do you have time for that family member with an errand and favor they asked? Or do you need to leave time in your schedule this week to meet your own needs? Being aware of how we want to spend our time can spark changes in our lives. You know, it can help us let go of a toxic friend and or partner or family member and create room for someone who can add positive value to our lives. When we stop spending energy and time in things that don't really bring us joy or benefit and add to our life, we can reprioritize the things we do and we can really transform our life. And this all starts with self-care. And finally, if all of this isn't enough to convince you to take care of yourself and you are still convinced that others' needs come first, they really don't. And even if you did put them first, you wouldn't be helping them as much as you think. Because when you take care of yourself, you have more to give. People who spend their time only taking care of others get burned out on all of the giving. And it makes it very difficult for them to continue to care for others. Taking time to care for yourself regularly can make you a better caretaker for others. When you're good to yourself, you might think you're being selfish. When you're saying no to someone. And I've been there, and I still struggle with that, and I have this weird guilt. And it's a little uncomfortable, but I validate myself because I know, I check in with myself and I know my resources are low and I need some self-care, and right now this is the right choice for me. It's not selfish. In truth, it's giving you the resources you need to be compassionate to others, patient with others, helpful with others, and that's going to go a long way in preserving relationships, as opposed to burning out, always giving, depleting your resources, and eventually snapping. You know, giving compassion is a bit like filling a bucket or a cup. You can't fill someone else's if you don't have enough in your own bucket to pour, right? So we have to fill up our own bucket. And when you're on an airplane, they always tell you, this is something I learned in an Al-Anon meeting, a little expression. When you're on an airplane, they always instruct you to put on your own oxygen mask before helping someone else. You have to take care of yourself and ensure that you can breathe to save anyone else, even when the plane is crashing. All right, so there's a few different types of self-care. So let's talk about them and a few different examples of how to actually do it. There are many different ways to practice it, and not all of them suit everyone. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's a find what works for you. So some of the types that I'm going to explore today of self-care are sensory, physical, emotional, spiritual, and social. Starting with sensory, this is all about grounding yourself in the present moment and helping you to calm your mind. And this is something that you can do in a crisis. It's actually really great. It's part of the distress tolerance skills that I talked about in my last episode. So you basically just focus on different elements of your five senses. Because when you are able to tune in to the details of the sensations all around you, it's easier to live in the present moment. And when you're in the present, you can more effectively let go of resentments or sadness or anger or worries. When you stop oscillating between the past and the future and you just focus on the here and now, you'll find you can calm your mind a bit. When you think about practicing sensory self-care, consider all of your senses, okay? Touch, smell, sound, sight, and discover what works for you and what you find the most enjoyable and distracting. So here are some examples. Cuddle up under a soft blanket or a weighted blanket. I just got myself one, a weighted blanket. I absolutely love it, and it's very effective for, you know, calming myself down. Sometimes I get under there and just practice some breathing and focus on the sensation of the weight on me. It's really wonderful. Another idea for sensory self-care is going outside or opening a window and focusing on the smell of the air. I feel like this one is extra precious to us these days. I know that when I go outside, it means a lot more. I appreciate it a lot. Or we could watch the flame of a candle or a fire. We could feel water on our skin and take a hot bath or shower. Or focus on the cold water as we wash our hands. Focus on the movements of your own breathing. What does it feel like when your stomach expands and contracts as you breathe? How does it feel going in your nose or out your mouth? You could lay down and listen to music. Close your eyes. Focus on the sound. Every little sound. Can you tell all the different types of instruments and the parts that they're playing? How do the vocals sound? Are there no vocals? What do you hear instead? You could find a spot in your house or somewhere outside that's safe that has afternoon sun, and you can sit there and feel the heat like a cat, or walk around barefoot somewhere. I know it feels really good to walk on my fuzzy rug or my bare floors when it's warm out, because the floors are always cool. Or maybe you want to go out and stick them in some grass if you can. Have something delicious to eat, something that you love, and eat it mindfully, one bite at a time, experiencing every little way it feels in your mouth and tastes and smells. Really engage a lot of different senses, how it feels in your hands. You could use essential oils. I have a diffuser in my room and I love it. I put it on every night, put some on my wrists and smell the wonderful oil. Or you could rub lotion on your body and see what that smells like and how that feels. Or if you have a pet, you could hold them or pet them. I know one of my favorite things to do throughout the day is go hug my cats. I love giving them kisses and petting their fur. So those are some sensory self-care tips and examples. Let's talk about emotional self-care. This one is not always so pleasant or comfortable, just like our emotions, right? When it comes to your emotional health, one of the best self-care tips is to make sure that you fully engage with your emotions. Facing painful and uncomfortable emotions actually helps reduce chronic stress and other serious problems from developing in the long term. And I know it can be very challenging to sit with your difficult emotions, but that's exactly what we need to do. We need to sit with them and feel them until it subsides. And trust me, one moment, one hour, one day, it will subside. And it also will return. So that's when we need to learn to sit with it again and lean back in. No matter what you're feeling, remind yourself that emotions are not good or bad. Remove that judgment. They just are. I used to hate the phrase, "It is what it is," but now it's one of my favorites because it takes away the judgment and relieves me of that, you know, acknowledgement, and it lets me just exist. Neither good nor bad, it just is. I'm sad, here's tears. That is just a fact. It's not good, it's not bad, it doesn't make me weak, it doesn't make me, you know, a bad person, none of that. And you may feel tempted to push down feelings like sadness or anger. Maybe you're even afraid or hesitant to express yourself and how you really feel, so you hide it, you downplay it, or ignore it because you don't want to upset someone else. I know I'm guilty of that. I noticed that because of my childhood trauma, I was compulsively trying to constantly please everyone around me, in fear of doing the wrong thing and upsetting them. I was so afraid of having people upset with me. You know, growing up, there was no validation or room for my physical and emotional needs, so I continued to suppress them for a very long time. But constantly ignoring my needs and my emotions and desires became detrimental over time. And as a young adult, I ran into a lot of problems, cognitively, physically, financially, and emotionally. It wasn't until in dialectic behavioral therapy that I really unpacked all of that trauma and pain and felt those really difficult feelings that I thought I had moved on from, but really I just severed them, blacked them out, and never really looked at them or dealt with them. And when I finally did and felt it all the way through, they weren't as intense anymore. Because feeling our feelings at their true capacity allows us to accept them and move on. So what exactly does feeling our feelings look like? How can we do it effectively so that we're not partaking in destructive behaviors like self-harm, compulsive shopping, eating disorders, avoidance, or lashing out towards others? Here are some ideas. Keep a daily journal and be totally honest about your feelings. This is actually kind of tough. I used to find that I didn't want to log things in my journal that I was really, really, really upset about at that time. So when I was in some pretty toxic and abusive relationships, I didn't want to write about the truths. I found it hard to go back and try to write a novel about the things that I experienced as a child. Writing about it, articulating it, it made it real, and it made me have to face what I was actually feeling about those events, and it was very difficult. So I am now trying to face those head on through my writing. And through this pandemic, I have a very specific journal, my COVID journal. And I write every day how I'm feeling about what's going on, what I did, what I eat, little happenings, who I called, who I talked to, and what I did to entertain myself or be productive. Helps me contain all of the racing thoughts and anxieties and fears that I have about this situation. Another emotional self-care idea is to write a list of feeling words so that you can expand your emotional vocabulary. Instead of just saying, I'm sad, I'm upset, I'm angry, you know, let's draw those out a little bit more. Are you depressed and sad because maybe you're feeling abandoned or lonely or left out? Are you really angry, or are you feeling frustrated and burned out or like betrayed? There's so many different words under each of those main emotions like fear and anger that can really help narrow what we're actually feeling. And the more we understand what we're feeling, the more that we can regulate it and come back to a good, happy, calm place. Another emotional self-care idea is to make time to connect with a friend who makes us feel validated and understood and heard. That's always really helpful. We can do that for ourselves too, which is step number one. You know, we want to validate how we feel internally and allow ourselves to feel that, check the facts, understand that what we feel makes sense and it's okay. And there's no good or bad about it. It just is. You can assert your boundaries when someone mistreats you. You can let yourself cry when you need to. You can deliberately encourage yourself to laugh at memes or funny videos. You can sing a song that best expresses your current emotion. You can find an activity that helps relieve the anger and frustration, such as working out, throwing or kicking a ball around, playing drums. You could pick up a self-care help book that relates to something that you're struggling with. You could consider seeing a therapist and exploring a structured path of recovery and self-growth with them. And another major important type of self-care is physical self-care, taking care of our bodies. As I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, it has so many long-term benefits. By being healthy, we're going to be more resilient and capable to do the things we want to do in life. And trust me, I didn't always value my body and my health the way I do today. And I've come really far with how I take care of my body, and I'm excited to keep going. So, what is physical self-care like? It's not always easy, right? Making healthy eating choices and trying to curb detrimental behaviors like smoking or excessive drinking. You can take care of your body by dancing, exercising, learning a new sport, doing yoga, following an at-home workout. Just anything to get yourself sweating. You can go for a walk, go for a run. Stretch when you wake up, or when you go to bed, or both. Take a bath. Soak your feet, scrub your feet, give yourself a pedicure. Do the same to your fingernails. Do a face mask. Pamper yourself. That's definitely part of taking care of our bodies. You can also take care of your body by doing something that's not super fun. It's not a hot bath, but it's going to the doctor, doing a physical every year to make sure everything's okay, following through with going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned. That's part of physical self-care. Anything that you do to take care of, nourish, and replenish your body is part of that physical self-care. So it's not just about the things we do, right? We don't always have to be go, 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 go. Especially now, we need to really allow ourselves to recover. And that involves sleep. That's huge. Even a nap. You know, just 20 minutes can make you feel mentally and physically refreshed. And you don't always have to do everything. You can say no to invitations when you're just too tired to enjoy them. You know, you don't need to push yourself to do your exercise routine when your body feels really run down or unwell. Or maybe you just need a little extra rest today. And that's okay. We also need to make sure we're getting enough sleep at night. Commit to 7 to 9 hours per night if you can. Now let's talk about spiritual self-care. It isn't just about being religious. Spiritual self-care is about getting in touch with your values and what really matters to you. So some ideas are keeping up with a daily meditation or mindfulness practice. This has been huge for me. Meditating, doing yoga, breathing, and doing things mindfully has been just so crucial to my recovery. It really helps me get through anxious moments, sad moments, scary moments, difficult moments, when I focus on the here and now. Even if the here and now is uncomfortable, I've learned through mindfulness and meditation that I can tolerate it. I can get through it. So I definitely recommend downloading a meditation app and practicing being mindful, which means you turn all of your senses into the task at hand. What it feels like, what it smells like, what it sounds like, what it looks like, and really focus on that for as long as you can. And when you find your mind wandering, bring it back to what you're doing in the here and now. Other types of spiritual self-care ideas are reading poetry. That can be good for the soul. Make a list of things you want to have in life. And then make a list of things that add to that, that you can do. And things that take away from that, that maybe you can stop doing. Attend a service or a gathering, whether it's religious or related to a hobby or interest. And now, I'm not saying go out and do that in person. I mean virtually. You can find these resources online now in the meantime. You can take a walk outside and reflect on the beauty around you. You can make a list every day of 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for. You can take care of your spirit and your soul by being creative through art, music, or writing. Make a list of things that make you feel alive and happy, and then ask yourself how you can incorporate this into your life more. Say affirmations that ground you and give you value, and purpose. Affirmations are so important because they remind us that we are important, that we are enough, and that what we feel and what we need is okay and valid. Every year for my birthday, whatever age I am, I write that amount of positive affirmations about myself in a memo, a little notepad on my phone, so I can look at it and read them out loud or to myself when I need that reminder. Now let's talk about social self-care, the final category I'm going to cover today. And it's a crucial aspect because, especially now, connecting with others and being social helps us feel connected and less alone. And whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you're probably craving a little bit more of a connection with people these days. And as human beings, connecting with others is really necessary for our happiness. And given the state of the world and our need to practice social distancing right now, it's actually very tough to navigate and maintain our, you know, previous norm of how we used to interact with the world. So staying in touch during this lockdown can help us combat those intense feelings of loneliness and isolation. But keep in mind, social self-care isn't about just doing things with others for the sake of doing it. It's about choosing the things you do and who you do it with. You want to spend your time and energy investing in people and connecting to people that bring value and joy to your life. So here are some social self-care ideas. Make a Zoom call or FaceTime. If you have technology to stay in touch, use it. Text someone, email someone, or bust out a pen and paper and make a card or a letter or a postcard and send it to them. You could consider joining an online forum or a Facebook group made of people who share your interests and start a dialogue there. And it's important, too, to spend time connecting with the people you may be living with right now. You can use this situation to improve your existing relationships. Or reach out and rekindle ones that have faded and that you miss. I have been doing a weekly Zoom call with one of my best friends who will be on the podcast for our next episode, Alexandra Morales, and it's been a highlight of my week, looking forward to it. I've also been doing a weekly Zoom chat, hour of charm as we call it in my family, a happy hour with my family, my dad, my aunts and uncles, cousin, brother, grandparents. It's been great. We get on there once a week and talk for an hour. And remember, sometimes saying no to a social engagement can be self-care. You know, if you've had several Zoom calls with loved ones on your days off or been taking a lot of calls during work, you know, it may be best to reschedule or limit the amount of time you're spending on these calls and video chats. It's okay and healthy to spend time by yourself and unplug. I know it can be tough to justify because you may feel like others are relying on you for emotional support and you should do this. But we don't need to have any conditions. We don't need to do anything. We should do. Let's remove should. Yeah, it would be nice if we could uphold every single social commitment that people wanted from us, and it's not necessary, and it's okay, and we're allowed to say no. All right, folks, that's it for me on self-care, coping with COVID and the stress that it brings. We will get through this. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Human beings are incredible and adaptable, and we will adapt and overcome and recover. And next week, I plan to have my very first guest, one of my favorite human beings, Alexandra Morales. She's a talented writer, a gifted thinker and feeler, and an expert at riding the waves of emotions that come with trauma. I've always admired her and been inspired by her, and I'm lucky enough to call her one of my closest friends. I can't wait to have a conversation with her about what it's like going through this trauma when you're already carrying so much else, and how she's been able to cope and get through it. So until then, remember, you're not alone. Keep thriving.
Drama mama.